This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
WBBM News Time, 12:05. It's Monday, July 9th, 2018. Thanks for joining us on the Noon Business Hour. I'm Rob Hart.
And good afternoon. I'm Chris Kreidel. It is a hot, sunny day in Chicago. 87 degrees right now, heading for a high of 92, mostly sunny.
The Noon Business Hour is presented by the Village of Bedford Park. Markets solidly in positive territory this afternoon. Let's get the latest from Bloomberg and Joan Doniger.
Well, Rob, it's a big bank day on Wall Street. Financials are leading the rally that's sending the averages up 0.5% to 1.25%. The Dow is up 302 points. The Nasdaq 41. The S&P 27. Today's moves have actually sent the Dow back into positive territory for the year. Strategists say the rally marks investors' post-July 4th holiday week reaction to the June jobs report. Tara Hedlund, senior equity advisor at Pennsylvania Trust, says investors are anticipating good economic news now.
It was a very good employment report on Friday, and I think that carries into this week. There's a good amount of economic data this week that the market is looking forward to.
The Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index is gaining 1%. That's on the 5% boost from Groupon shares. The burst higher comes on a report that Groupon is stepping up its efforts to find a buyer. Recode says China's Alibaba is a possibility there, since Alibaba already owns part of the Daily Deal site. Back to you, Rob and Chris.
Thanks, Joan. On today's Noon Business Hour, we're talking about the week ahead on Wall Street, and we're going to take a look into that report that Chicago's Groupon may be up for sale.
And then Starbucks is the latest entity to announce it's getting rid of plastic straws, and it's Stock Picker Monday. We'll have a couple of selections for you.
Your best stock option. This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
The next Groupon deal could be Groupon itself. We're going to be talking about that in our next segment. Right now, we have a busy week for data. Investors are bracing for what's next in the U.S. trade war with China. And we're talking with Paul Christopher, the head of the Global Market Strategy and Wells Fargo's Investment Institute in St. Louis. Welcome back to the Noon Business Hour, Paul.
Hi, Chris.
We're looking at a runaway market today. What's going on?
Well, there are these cross currents, and one day you might get some tariff news or trade news that seems a little bit concerning, and the market might sell off a little bit, and then the next day you've got some positive news, and the employment report last Friday, as your earlier segment mentioned, is carrying over into this week. We still have pretty light markets. There's just not a lot of people around. Everybody's on vacation, it seems. So in these kinds of markets, you can swing a lot from one day to the next because there just aren't a lot of people there to fight back. So it's really a market of a cross currents. You've still got some really strong positives, we think, out there. And we think over time, investors will get more comfortable with the idea that the Chinese and the U.S. are going to be negotiating tariffs and trade, and they'll be using tariffs as leverage over one another in those negotiations. If you see the two countries going to controlling investment flows or starting to, let's say, the Chinese start to devalue their currency, then that's maybe a little bit more worry to get concerned. But right now, what we've seen so far is these are negotiating tools. It's helping people focus on the strong economy here at home.
And in terms of the prices on Wall Street and the trends, fundamentally, you think we're doing okay?
Yes, fundamentally, we're doing fine. We're going to be getting second quarter earnings here in a little while. They're expected to be very strong. There are some investors out there who are concerned that we might not be able to top this particular growth rate for earnings in future quarters. But in our view, that's okay, because you've really still got a lot of tax reform related effect going into the growth rates of earnings this quarter. We still think that corporate earnings organically can grow pretty strongly, positively taking markets to new highs by the end of this year and into 2019.
President's going to Europe this week. He will stop at the NATO summit in Brussels, and then again call on British Prime Minister Theresa May in a separate visit to Great Britain. Any potential market movers that could come out of those meetings?
I think if you really want to find market movers out of those meetings, it would have to be some real breakdown in talks where they just agree to disagree and go home. And if they do that, then you should expect new tariffs, especially on automobiles. That could be something that would be worth for the market to take notice of. But again, both sides, they're probably still a little early in this negotiation, or earlier along than the Chinese are with us. So the Europeans are going to want to talk trade and talk Turkey and negotiate, and they also will use leverage, as we will, against them. So once again, we don't think this devolves into a big trade war, but there could be some new, more, let's say, concerning headlines that will come out and give the market a difficult day from time to time. Again, we want investors to focus on those fundamentals that Chris was talking about a minute ago.
And then at the risk of getting too far into the weeds, there is some turmoil in Prime Minister May's cabinet. And there are some indications that Brexit, which was voted on by referendum 2 years ago, may not actually happen now. And how will that affect the market?
That would be a strong positive for markets because the markets believe that the Brexit is a mistake. That it's a populist reflexive reaction to some people in the country not doing so well, that it would be a big mistake for the UK to leave the European Union. I don't think they get that far. I think what they'll do is just make the negotiations more complex, and that would be more kind of churn and sideways market movements for the UK going forward. I think we want to stay neutral on Europe right now. We want people to focus on the US.
What kind of investments do you think we're going to be seeing as we head through the summer and into the fall that makes sense with the economic picture?
Well, yeah, in terms of the economic picture and considering how some places, some sectors of the market have sold off here on worries about trade, you know, sectors like financials on the interest rate picture, industrials and consumer discretionary on the trade picture, consumer discretionary, think things that people buy when they're feeling flush with cash. Those are sectors that have suffered a little bit. They're among our favorites because we think they have strong ties to the good economy. We want people to be buying those sectors right now as sentiment about trade we think will eventually clear and return us to more positive economic fundamentals.
Thanks a lot, Paul Christopher, head of global market strategy at the Wells Fargo Investment Institute based in St. Louis. Coming up, Groupon says, buy me.
An economy of words. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Chicago-based Groupon is shopping around for a buyer. Let's talk to Olga Karif, technology reporter for Bloomberg, based in Portland, Oregon. Well, Portland, Oregon, which is where you are. Olga, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
How does this search for a buyer, how does that compare to the overtures that Groupon received from Google 7 years ago when they first went public?
You know, back then, Groupon had huge ambitions and was expected to have a huge market share of a huge market. They were essentially pursuing local merchants and were basically telling the street that essentially think about every mom-and-pop shop or restaurant buying deals, you know, working with Groupon to offer people deals. This is going to be a huge market. And so back then, it was basically pricing itself very highly, and I think it couldn't agree with Google on price if those reports are right. Whereas right now, Groupon is in a completely different situation. It spent several years restructuring, just trying to stem losses, and it's still nowhere near achieving sort of revenue growth, and it's definitely become clear that its ambitions are never going to be realized as they were kind of articulated years ago. It's never going to be a huge company, so it's in a very, very different position.
And Groupon, though, I mean, it's still it seems to be tops at in its field. After Groupon came to the scene, it seemed like there were everybody and their uncle tried to start their own daily deal business. Some succeeded, some did not. But Groupon's still there, the number one name in Groupon-like offers.
Absolutely, that's exactly right. So it used to compete with sites like Living Social, for example, which Groupon ended up acquiring. A lot of other sites that it competed with, it ended up sort of prevailing over a lot of other names in this field, but it's also competing with names like Yelp, for instance, and to a certain degree with Angie's List. And, you know, there's quite a bit of competition in this space of catering to local merchants, small merchants. So, but it definitely has an amazingly strong brand. It's very well known.
I think it was high. It was highest when it was launched. Actually, when it went public, was the highest that. And now today, it's 4.6, which is up about 6 percentage points. So it is really not done real well it's on Wall Street. But who are the properties who might be interested in buying?
You know, it's interesting that the names. It can be anybody, basically, from talking to analysts. Essentially, the analysts are no longer just talking about strategic buyers whose business might sort of dovetail with Groupon's, but they're saying that Groupon might be sort of so undervalued that it could be attractive to a lot of companies. And they've been talking about everybody from Interactive Corp to Priceline. So it could be Alphabet, or it could be Apple, or Facebook. There have been a lot of names being thrown around.
Well, and Groupon is up about 6 percentage points today at 4.6. Thank you so much for joining us, Olga. Olga Karif is technology reporter at Bloomberg in Portland. Still ahead, we'll get a check on the markets, talk about Starbucks and the disappearing plastic straw.
WBBM News Time, 12:25. Now WBBM Business. From Bloomberg, here's Joan Doniger.
Well, Rob, the Dow is back in the win column for the year, thanks to investors keying on economic data. The Dow is up 293 points, the NASDAQ 39, the S&P 20. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg gaining 1%. Groupon shares in the lead there. On reports, the Daily Deal site is looking seriously for a buyer. Recode says China's version of Amazon Alibaba is a possibility since it owns part of Groupon. Now, on Wall Street, investors are getting their first chance back at work for some after the holiday to celebrate the June jobs report with its just right levels of wage growth. Not too hot and better than predicted job growth. It points to economic strength that strategists say investors are hoping will continue, and some other reports due out this week, June inflation figures, for example. Now, let's check in with Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities in Normal. Pete?
Lower grain prices on better weather forecasts with less heat to hurt the growing crop. We have corn for December down 8.5 at 364.5. Soybeans for November at 868, down 26.5. And September wheat down 8.75 at 506.75. Lower prices on better weather forecasts. And this is Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities in Normal.
Right now, the Dow up 293 points. With business at 25 and 55, live from the Bloomberg Newsroom, Joan Doniger, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
WBBM News Time, 12:30. Good afternoon, I'm Rob Hart.
And I'm Chris Kreidel. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM.
It's an up day on Wall Street. We'll take a look at what's moving the markets.
Starbucks gets on board the movement to ban the plastic straw. We'll talk about that coming up on the Noon Business Hour.
It's time for our Monday Stock Picker.
Governor Rauner dishes more criticism on the Dan Ryan anti-violence protest.
And 8 boys are brought to safety in Thailand, leaving 4 more and their coach stranded in an underwater cave.
Wall Street, the Dow Industrials up by 292 points. The NASDAQ up 41. S&P 500 up 19.
Mostly sunny, hot, and more humid. A high today of 92. It is 87 degrees in Chicago. The Noon Business Hour is presented by the Village of Bedford Park.
Pretty good day on Wall Street. Joining us to talk about this, Hugh Johnson, Chairman, Chief Investment Officer with Hugh Johnson Advisors in Albany, New York. Welcome back to the Noon Business Hour, Hugh. What is the encouraging news today here on the Wall Street? What's behind that?
Well, I think there are a lot of things, Chris. I think, first of all, overnight we had really good performance from the markets in the Far East. You saw the Chinese stock market, for example, up 2.8%, which is a very big day. You saw large capitalization stocks in China up very, very strong, the strongest they've been up in 2 years. And I think that created a little bit of optimism, but sort of a follow-through from last week when we saw the stock market rally. In other words, people seem to be managing, I guess is about the best way to say it, some of the worries about what the trade fears are going to do to the global economy. And I think that's part of the story. But the other part of the story is that we're starting the earnings season. Second quarter earnings look like they're going to be extremely strong, something in the order of 19-20%. So I think that we're expecting really good earnings numbers, and we're expecting the companies that make those earnings announcements to follow up with some comments on the impact that the trade problems are going to have on their companies. And I think the story you're going to hear is that, at least at this juncture, that they're not seeing any impact, and they don't think that the impact is going to be all that significant. But we'll just have to wait and see. So right now, I think it's the Far East. I think we're good markets over there. And again, as I say, the expectation of good earnings reports.
But why is the utility sector doing well right now?
Boy, you ask tough questions, and that's really a really great question. It's not just utilities. It's we saw consumer staples. And you know, that's what causes me to pause, causes everybody to pause. It may be because they're going to post good earnings, but I doubt that. I don't think that at all. I think really when you see a defensive sector like utilities perform well, when you see staples, consumer staples perform well on a short-term basis, you have to worry that, at least at some juncture, investors are becoming worried about the stock market. What is it about the stock market they're worried about? There may be deepening worries about trade, which certainly don't show up in the stock market today. Deepening worries about trade, the impact of trade on the global economy, the impact of trade problems on the U.S. economy, that we may be headed towards darker times for the U.S. economy. But believe me, that's something it's a great question. You have to keep in mind utilities are not performing well, and that's a negative or a defensive signal.
And then let's talk about some potential news that could come out of Great Britain this week, come out of Europe, as President Trump heads over to speak with the leaders of other NATO nations. And then he goes to Great Britain to talk to British Prime Minister Theresa May. And she's got her own issues this morning with people leaving her cabinet, and all sorts of indications that Brexit, 2 years ago, voted in by a referendum, that Great Britain might be considering a U-turn, and what is the economic impact of that?
You know, that's another good question, and I think that's a good question because it's the battle between the hard Brexit folks, and they're the ones that resigned. They don't believe that Theresa May is being tough enough. And secondly, the soft Brexit folks. Looks like the soft Brexit folks, which I think quite frankly reflects the majority of the people in Great Britain, are winning the day. And there's been discussions about a confidence vote for Theresa May. That's been backed off. So I think that she's winning the day, quite frankly. At least that's the way it looks right now. And it looks like, and this is good news, I think, on balance, that the soft Brexit or the much more agreeable folks in Great Britain are going to win the day, and that there's going to be, let's just say, a more amicable agreement between the European Union and Great Britain on Brexit. It looks like that's headed in that direction, and I think that's on balance very good news for the stability of the European economy.
2016 was the year of kind of the populist shocks. I mean, you had Brexit over the summer, and then, of course, you had President Trump winning the presidential election that fall, and there were both signs that this was home countries kind of rising up against free trade and the international economic order that had been in place since the end of the Cold War. And now we're starting to see that that's not necessarily, it's easier said than done to implement some of these policies. 2 years along, I mean, what's kind of your 35,000 foot view of the economy and some of the forces that are driving it?
I think the big force that's made the market good in 2016-17 and made it actually a fairly good market here in 2018 has been companies and what they're doing. Earnings have been extraordinarily strong. If you back away from earnings and ask yourself about what about the geopolitical situation, and we're not looking just at the U.S., we're looking at France where there was a big shift towards populism. We're taking a look at Brexit. All of those things, you know, there's a lot of promises been made. Not much has really transpired that you can say is really positive. Certainly nothing that's helped the global economy and helped companies. No, I think this one really, quite frankly, I think there's still disarray when we take a look at international politics, take a look at the problems with North Korea, trying to get them to the table or trying to get an agreement there. Very, very difficult to do. I quite frankly think this is mostly earnings. That's why we've had a good stock market. And I really have not been impressed at all by any of the moves, shifts, changes, promises, shall we say, that have not been kept or been able to be kept on the political front, both geopolitical throughout the world.
Hugh, always nice to have you on the program. Thanks for joining us. Hugh Johnson, Chairman, Chief Investment Officer at Hugh Johnson's Advisors in Albany. Coming up next, Starbucks is getting rid of the plastic straw.
Buy, sell, listen. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's a phenomenon. Now Starbucks is on board the environmental wave with plans to eliminate the plastic straw from beverages in just 2 years. Let's talk about how and why things are changing with Tom Serafin, founder and CEO of Serafin Associates, Serafin and Associates here in Chicago. Tom, welcome back to the program. The semi-humorous take that I had earlier today is that once the White Sox decided to move away from plastic straws, the rest of corporate America decided to follow suit.
Well, they're in first place that way.
Yes, they are. For Starbucks, though, this is it more or less because of the PR they'll get out of this decision, or is this there's going to be an actual concrete environmental impact?
Well, we don't have an impact, probably more so on the business side. You know, their stock is up today, but it is a good distraction, as you suggest, from the situation they had in Philadelphia a couple months ago when a couple African-American men were asked to leave the restaurant. And now you can actually go into restaurants at Starbucks. And you don't even have to purchase anything, but you can lounge and meet friends, et cetera. But no, this is Seattle a week and a half ago banned straws, plastic straws. And also in Seattle is the Starbucks headquarters. So this is kind of a natural occurrence. You know, they do about $23 billion in revenues, and $1 billion fewer plastic straws will be part of this earth because of this action. But it's a part of their, you know, $10 billion investment in being a recyclable, disposable, environmentally conscious company. So, you know, Rob, you got both of them. It's a good distraction, but it's also going to do some good. 8 million metric tons of plastic enter the ocean every year. So something's got to be done about it, and Starbucks is making the effort. IKEA also is another company that plans on doing away with plastics by 2020. The irony is here, despite the fact that Seattle, Oakland, and Berkeley, California have all said no more plastics, in Hawaii, it was voted down. I mean, they're going to continue using plastic straws.
Well, McDonald's announced a month ago that it's going to start testing plastic straws. So is Starbucks getting in late in the game here?
Well, they're doing everything, blanketing all over all 28,000 stores in the world. They're going to do this and hope it gets done in the next 2 years. McDonald's is actually testing some compostable straws and paper straws, but they are also on a deadline for the next 2 years, 2018, they think it is. By the end of this year, McDonald's is planning to ban plastic straws in the United Kingdom and Ireland, because this is also a big thing in Europe, and the European Union has talked about this for some time, and they're going to be acting soon. So I think they're trying to get out front, and at the same time, it's a great distraction from the Philadelphia situation.
Well, thank you very much for joining us this afternoon. Tom Serafin, founder and CEO of Serafin Associates, based in Chicago. Join us at this time tomorrow for Travel Tuesday, and still to come, our Monday Stock Picker.
News that makes you money.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Stock Picker Monday on the Noon Business Hour. Joining us with a pair of investment ideas, Chuck Carlson, CEO of Horizon Investment Services, publisher of the Dow Theory Forecast newsletter in Hammond. Welcome back to the Noon Business Hour. Chuck, what's your first stock today?
Well, actually, both picks are from the transportation sector, and there's a reason for that. I think if this market is going to kind of pull out of this trading range that we've had for the last several months, it's really going to be driven by transportation-related stocks, which tend to be extremely economically sensitive. So with that in mind, the first stock is FedEx. It's a stock that got beaten up a bit recently when Amazon mentioned that it was going to be kind of funding companies getting into short-term delivery of its packages. I think that's offering an opportunity in the stock, quite frankly. The stock is now down about 15% from its previous high, and it's trading at less than 14 times 2018 earnings expectations. FedEx is a very formidable competitor to anyone trying to get into that business. And I think when you see stocks like this that overreact to the increased presence of Amazon, you really need to take advantage of that, particularly blue chips like FedEx. So that's a stock we like quite a bit and a stock that I think at these levels offers an attractive value for investors.
And FedEx is actually trading a little bit higher today at $234.56 a share. And then your next one is very big at Midway Airport.
Yes, it is, and that's Southwest Airlines, which I realize is a bit of a contrarian pick right now. The company is still kind of suffering the aftermath of its accident that had happened several weeks ago. One of the reasons why is that the company, I think, prudently pulled basically all of its advertising immediately following the incident, and so it has not exactly been kind of top of mind from an advertising standpoint. I think you'll see that starting to change here over the next two quarters. The stock trades at only about 12 times 2018 earnings expectations. It's down 20%, so a lot of the bad news we think is already reflected in that stock. Again, airline stocks do tend to be pretty volatile. Southwest is going to be no exception, but I think at these prices, it is a stock worth considering, again, at a 20% discount to its 52-week high.
Where are we in the cycle right now, Chuck, the Dow theory that you follow?
Well, the Dow theory actually did turn bearish earlier this year in February and March when we had both the industrials and transports go to new lows. Since then, however, we didn't get much of a follow-through. In fact, we didn't get any follow-through below those lows. And we've had a market that's basically been trading in kind of this trading range of over the last 3 or 4 months. Every time it comes down to kind of bounce and retest those lows, and those lows again in the industrials are 23,533. And the lows in the transports are 10,119. Every time it's come back down there, it's held the lows and it's had a pretty good bounce, as we saw here in the last week and a half, and today for that matter. So, you know, we're going to let the market tell the story, and basically, eventually, it will break out in one of these directions. If it breaks out to the upside above the January highs in both of those industrials and transports, then that would be very bullish for the market. Conversely, if it breaks below those lows, that would be a reason to become more defensive. So the market's going to tell the story here. I wouldn't be surprised, though, if we're kind of remain in this trading range for the next few months.
Thanks a lot, Chuck Carlson, CEO of Horizon Investment Services and publisher of the Dow Theory Forecast newsletter based in Hammond, Indiana. You'll find past programs and later today a podcast of this hour at WBBMNewsRadio.com and the all-new Radio.com app.
WBBM News Time, 12:55. Wrapping up the Noon Business Hour, let's check in with Joan Doniger.
Chris, it's the data driving Wall Street today. The data from Friday in the June jobs report. Investors are sending the Dow back into positive territory for the year. It's up 307 points. The NASDAQ up 45, the S&P 21. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg is gaining 1%, driven by the 6.5% jump in Groupon shares. That thanks to the report, Groupon is looking for its own deal, a buyer. Recode says China's Alibaba may be a likely suitor since it already owns part of the Daily Deal company. A presidential tweet taking aim at drug company pricing. President Trump says Pfizer and others should be ashamed. They have raised drug prices for no reason. He says, quote, we will respond. Pfizer's shares rolled back bigger gains. They're up now about 0.33%. With business at 25 and 55, live from the Bloomberg newsroom, Joan Doniger, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
WBBM and HD Chicago. WCFS FM and HD1 Elmwood Park, Chicago.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.